Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pete McCarthy.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
All right, back here on the Fan Hour number two with myself. We'll have John Jastrzemski coming up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Pete Hoffman, Antonio Grillo on the other side of the glass. Bob Uecker keeping you updated all night long. Super Bowl 54, 3 days away as we close in on Chiefs-Niners down in Miami. And we welcome on right now Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus. And Austin, great to have you on. I always like to do a little research on my guests, and I suppose you have found Waffle House is the A number one thing when you're out on the road.
Oh, man. I got I think it was great when I was sitting at the restaurant, leaving the restaurant. I did not feel that great, I'll have to say that.
That's one of the keys. But sometimes that's the best meal, you know? You got to pay the price for it afterwards, and yet you somehow still go back. And, of course, you're on the road at the Senior Bowl, checking things out down in Mobile, Alabama, and looking into the draft class for next year. Maybe we'll touch on that a little bit later. But as far as Super Bowl 54 and this matchup between the 49ers and Chiefs, I guess just generally, if there's one matchup in this game that you're excited to lock in and watch, what would you say that is?
I think an interesting one is the Kansas City Chiefs offense versus the first quarter. Because if they don't put up points early in this game and they allow the San Francisco 49ers to be two-dimensional, attack with outside zone, run the football down their throats, it's going to be hard to win. But if they can score early and get ahead of these 49ers, force Jimmy Garoppolo to pass, with game situation, that's how this Patrick Mahomes-led Kansas City Chiefs team really wins this game.
Now, they've had the extra week here. We saw them struggle maybe off the bye against Houston. Of course, Andy Reid and his career has typically been great off of the bye week. Is there something said for the disjointed schedule of the postseason and how that might affect the Chiefs offense going into this game?
Yeah, I think a little bit, but at the same time, I think both of these coaches, Andy Reid and Shanahan, are two of the best offensive minds in the game. They do such a good job from a game planning perspective. I think both of these coaches take full advantage of the extra 2 weeks to prepare for these defenses. I think it's going to be a very exciting matchup, both physically and athletically. These guys have a ton of talent on both sides of the ball, but also schematically, seeing how they move the chess pieces on this board is going to be very, very intriguing to watch.
And, in recent years in the Super Bowl, we've seen a lot of gadget plays, trick plays. We've seen plenty of coaches take advantage of the extra time that you do have, especially at the end of the year when everybody knows the playbook. You're pretty well locked in.
Yeah, no, I think there could be some trick plays. I think Kyle Shanahan, first and foremost, does a very good job of disguising run concepts and running reverse action or boot action off of those things. I think he'll have a few tricks up his sleeve. And as for Andy Reid, this guy's going to keep the gas pedal down. I expect him to have a very heavy passing attack. Get the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands quickly. Don't let those cornerbacks stay over the top. Feed them underneath and really take advantage of the cushion that you'll probably see from Sherman and Emmanuel Mosley.
Now, again, we're talking with Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus, as we lock in on Super Bowl 54. I think one of the 49ers have an excellent defense, terrific pass rush. They could do it by rushing just four. They don't have to blitz the heck out of you to make that happen. What kind of challenge is it going to be for this 49ers offensive line, not only to rush Patrick Mahomes, but you got to try to contain him at the same time? We certainly saw Tennessee have issues with that in the championship game.
Yeah, I think a word that comes to mind is discipline. You have to be disciplined within your rush lanes. You can't afford to abandon those and let Patrick Mahomes get that outside the pocket. We've seen that against Tennessee. This guy is very mobile outside the pocket. And when he goes outside the pocket, you obviously have fear, have that Tennessee Titans run down the football field for touchdown. But also, he does a great job of keeping his eyes downfield, throwing off platform, throwing out of structure, and creating big plays in that way. Oftentimes, you let a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes get outside the pocket and really start to create that's when the coverage breaks down and the big plays happen to Travis Kelce, Watkins, etc.
You know, it's interesting in the championship game, and Tony Romo was pointing this out, Tennessee's trying to double Tyreek Hill and have help there and trying to double Austin Travis Kelce and try to limit what he could do in this game, which they were rather successful with. But there's always going to be something. There are other weapons there for Kansas City. Sammy Watkins has a big game, and then Mahomes can use his legs. Is there one key piece that you think if you're San Francisco, you got to try to knock out of the game?
It's the big play. I don't think it's any one player, but limiting the big play. It comes back to discipline pass rush lanes, and it also comes back to giving some cushion at the pre-snap and not letting Tyreek Hill and company get behind you. Do not come undisciplined when he does bail out of the pocket, because you give up the big play, that's how this Chiefs team wins. If you force them to have these five-yard hitches and gain a lot of yards after the catch, it's harder to move down the football field that way than it is with one big strike that Patrick Mahomes and company are so capable of.
Austin Gale giving us the good stuff here on Super Bowl 54 from Pro Football Focus. As for the 49ers, what's been impressive about them, they've won in a variety of ways, right? We've seen in the postseason, it's been the defense and the running game, and they barely had to go through the air at all to knock off the Packers in the NFC Championship game. But they also won a barn burner game in New Orleans in the regular season. What is it about San Francisco that allows them to have success in a variety of different kinds of games?
Yeah, I think it starts with the coaching. I mean, coaching on both sides of the ball. Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan have done such a good job schematically and from a game plan perspective, preparing for every team each week. That's why the Chiefs should be scared by let this guy have 2 weeks to prepare for them. But also, they win in a lot of different ways offensively. Even though they run the football, it's not as traditional run-heavy, ground-and-pound approach that, Lombardi's getting excited for. It's a very creative run offense that uses a lot of different things. They run outside zone very effectively, and then they go against Green Bay and they run power, gap, man, all of these different concepts. They can do it all, and disguising those concepts, running play action off of that, they really put their players in a position to succeed, and they don't let the defense get to jump on you with how creative Kyle Shanahan can be with deploying his offense.
As someone who studies players when they come into the league and then how they perform while they are in it, how does a guy like Raheem Mostert, and we've seen this from running backs in the past, but how does a guy like Mostert seemingly come out of nowhere, cut by six different teams, bounce practice squad to practice squad, gets an opportunity in San Francisco, and then he's the absolute star of the NFC Championship game to help lead the 49ers into the Super Bowl? How do you explain that career path, how so many teams could miss? Even San Francisco, it took a long time for them to give him this kind of role.
I wish I could tell you. I think if I had the answer to that, I might be coaching this weekend. But I think with Raheem Mostert, the thing is you bet on athletes at all positions. We've seen at PFF something that translates really well from the college to the NFL is composite athletic score, looking at 40-yard dash, 10-yard split, broad jump, vertical. These guys that are athletes at the college level, Raheem Mostert included, maintain that athleticism at the NFL level. And at positions like receiver, running back and other things, it becomes that much more important when everyone's faster, everyone's quicker. I think Mostert, given the opportunity and an offensive line and an offensive scheme like the 49ers, he is thriving in a very good system, but also thriving because he's a very good athlete.
So those athletic scores, you mentioned running back, wide receiver. Is it just specific positions that you would lock in on that rather than say guys that were actually good and understand the game and put up a tape while they were in college?
So here's the thing. I think the thing with athletic scores is that they're predictive. You can count on them being maintained from college to pro. There are other things that there's a certain system that a player is really thriving at the college level that won't translate to the NFL, or he's a very good tackler in college, but it doesn't translate when those guys get bigger and those guys get tougher, not in the group of five, but actually in the NFL. Why we like athletic score and other things as well. Forced missed tackles per touch is one of the most predictive metrics we have going from college to pro. Why we rely on these predictive measures is because it allows you to actually create a floor and a ceiling for prospects. When you rely on data or anecdotes or qualitative analysis that is not proven predictive, you can find yourself busting at the top of the first round on guys like that you see every year. I think leaning on these metrics that we find and data points that we find that actually have predictive power really are helping inform NFL decision makers from personnel, play calling all the way to whether or not you go for it on fourth down.
But would you draft, say, an offensive lineman based on some of the athletic scores, or is that a position that would be different than, say, running back, wide receiver, and sort of what information you're taking in?
Yeah, I think you would, though. There's a lot, like 10-yard split is something that really a lot of offensive line coaches and even evaluators look at heavily. Colton Miller, one of the best 10-yard splits in the combine era. Lane Johnson, Mitchell Schwartz, not Mitchell Schwartz, but there's other offensive tackles that have this high-end athleticism that really, with the passing game and these sets as they get deeper, really matters at the next level. I think all positions you want this next-level athlete to create a higher floor at the next level. Then it comes to coaching, trying to fine-tune a prospect and make him better.
Well, give me a guy, as you start to look at the 2020 draft, and both the Jets and the Giants will have an eye towards this in the not-too-distant future, even if it's someone that maybe isn't reachable for those two teams. There's somebody that's just off the top of the charts as far as, you know, athletic score goes?
Yeah, I think Jerry Jeudy is going to test very, very well, the Alabama wideout, and I think he makes a ton of sense for both the Giants and the Jets at wide receiver. Another guy, too, Andrew Thomas, the offensive tackle of Georgia, might be the most athletic, smooth offensive tackle in this class. He's currently PFF's number one offensive tackle. I would not be surprised if the Giants took him at number four. And I'll bring up another guy, Henry Ruggs of Alabama. This guy wants to run in the 4.2s and probably can. I think having that athleticism at game-changing speed is why you see receivers going in the first round. You look at Marquise Brown, didn't have the production. Injury risk, but this guy can fly. And when you have guys that have that speed, they can be game changers. Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Deebo Samuel, these guys that can really create separation at the deep levels of the football field, that's what's valuable in today's NFL.
Yeah, I think both Jets and Giants fans now familiar in the early stages looking ahead to the draft. Both Jeudy, the terrific receiver out of Alabama, and as you mentioned, Andrew Thomas, the tackle out of Georgia, as we chat with Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus. Let's get back to the Super Bowl. As far as, you know, there's so much attention on Patrick Mahomes coming into this game, but then Jimmy Garoppolo has a chance to, of course, emerge as a Super Bowl champion as well. And I wonder about Garoppolo. If he were to win this game, when we're having the hot take discussion, get into the talk radio stuff of who's better and where does Garoppolo rank, you know, where do the numbers say Garoppolo is if you start to compare him against some of the other starting quarterbacks in the league?
Yeah, I think Jimmy Garoppolo, why he gets kind of tagged is I would not call him a game manager. I would call him a system quarterback, a guy that thrives in a specific system. If you ask him to do things that Green Bay Packers asked Aaron Rodgers to do or the Saints asked Drew Brees to do, he's not going to have the same level of success. But in the 49ers offense, very run-heavy, play-action-heavy, simple reads, easy stuff down the football field, Jimmy Garoppolo can have a ton of success. Not be a game manager, but be a successful quarterback in this system. And with that being said, where he struggles is when that system breaks down. Under pressure, he's one of the lowest-graded quarterbacks in the NFL this season, according to PFS grades. Patrick Mahomes, one of the highest graded. That guy's good inside, outside of structure, any system. This guy can thrive because he has that arm talent and those tools that make him a good quarterback. Jimmy is in a very good situation right now and thriving within it.
I think that's a comparison that makes sense to the eye test for people who watch these teams coming in. So how do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, I do think the Chiefs get out to a very hot early start. I know this 49ers defense is good, but I trust Andy Reid and that offensive mind he has to come out and try and put up 10-14 points early on the 49ers. If they do that, they hold that lead pretty easily. I could see the Chiefs winning by 10+.
So 10+, you like Kansas City, get out ahead. Now let's see what happens. Let's say San Francisco, they get the ball, they walk down the field, they're playing from ahead. How does that change this game?
Oh, it changes it mightily. It allows the 49ers to be two-dimensional, allows them to lean on that run game. They can keep this close all the way to the final minutes of the fourth quarter. I think at that point, it depends which offense has the ball last. And at San Francisco, I think they could win by three. I could see this game going around 27-24.
All right. Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus, breaking it down for us. Austin, great stuff. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
And good stuff. You can follow Austin on Twitter at @PFF_AustinGale. That's GAYLE. And looking at the Super Bowl, giving you some picks there, too. Clearly likes the Chiefs in this game. You know, I think that's one of the lessons that you take away, though, from the trip to the Super Bowl here is how much that opening quarter does matter. If you're playing from ahead, playing from behind, now, in the case of Kansas City, it doesn't matter a whole lot. But we saw it mattered in a big way for Baltimore when they were upset by Tennessee. And San Francisco, not quite the same situation with Jimmy Garoppolo versus Lamar Jackson, as Garoppolo can fling it a little bit. But if you fall behind and you're San Francisco, it's certainly a different game story than what we saw as they rolled through Minnesota as well as Green Bay on their way to the Super Bowl.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.